When we hear the word witch, what comes to mind? For some, I think when they hear the word witch, they think, well, that's Halloween time. Some others, when they hear the word witch, they're thinking perhaps of a movie, maybe a TV show. If the Hebrews heard the word witch, they were probably thinking that person needs to die. In Exodus chapter 22, tonight's text, God said that witches were to be put to death. Now, depending on your translation, you might not see the word witch. The ASV will use something like sorcerer. You might have sorceress, but it's basically the idea of a witch. As you look at Exodus chapter 22, tonight's text is verses 18 through 20. And in these three verses, God said in rapid fire order, if you do this, you need to die. If you do this, you need to die. And if you do this, you need to die. Now, this text is not the only place in the Bible where we read about witches. You may remember that back in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 7, Moses and Aaron appeared before Pharaoh. You may remember how that Aaron had that staff, he had that rod, and he threw down the rod, the staff, while in the presence of Pharaoh. After he threw down that rod, the Bible says that rod was turned into a serpent. Exodus 7:11 says that following that, Pharaoh called the sorcerers and the magicians, and they came and tried to replicate some of what Aaron had done, Moses and Aaron. Now, there's a hint. In Exodus chapter 7, as to why sorcery, witchcraft, was such a big deal, and why God said that if you practice, if you engage in this kind of stuff, you need to die. The Egyptians, of course, as we look at their culture, they were idol worshippers. The Egyptians, as you look at their gods, they had all kinds of gods, a god for virtually everything. And those false gods were tied in with the occult, with witches and sorcerers. When you think about witches and sorcerers, you find that a close cousin to them was the medium. Mediums, of course, are people who claim that they can communicate with the dead. I'm going to turn over, I'm going to get to Exodus chapter 22, but before they do that, I want to introduce a couple of other passages. One of the other texts is going to be Deuteronomy, and in just a minute I'm going to be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. The idea that people can communicate with the dead is not new. Back in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 27, that's the other passage I want to reference but not read. God talked there about those who had a familiar spirit. That's how older translations render it. Other translations, newer translations, would make it clear that God's talking about a medium. And God's attitude towards those mediums was just like the people involved with witchcraft, just like the people who are involved with sorcery. Pulling first from Deuteronomy chapter 18, starting with verse 9 and reading down through verse 12. God said to his people, when thou art come into the land, which Jehovah thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. God said, these guys have some bad practices, and when you get there, you make sure that you don't do what they're doing. He said, there shall not be found with thee anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire. Or God said, you don't get involved with those who practice divination, one who practices augury, or an enchanter, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a consulter with a familiar spirit, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Now, those verses cover a lot of territory. And if you want to sum them up, here's what God was saying. If there's somebody involved with fortune telling, and there is in the land, you stay away from them. You don't get involved with that. God said there are going to be some people who are casting spells. Stay away from that. God said there are going to be some people who hold seances. Don't get involved with that. There are going to be some people who are involved with trying to communicate with the dead. And God said to his people, no, no, no. I'm casting these people out of the land for these reasons, among some other things. And God said, when you get into the land, you make sure that you stay away from this stuff. Today, as we look at some of these very practices, and they still exist, people hold them up sometimes as fun and certainly right. Man has gotten really good at saying sin, at least what God says is sin, is not sin. In fact, as you look at communicating with the dead, there are some people who say, well, that's actually a service. There is someone who has a loved one, and that loved one died, and there were some things that were not said. There's a message that someone who's living wants to communicate with the dead, and I'm going to show compassion. I'm going to show mercy, probably charge them, but I'm going to show compassion. I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to help that person communicate with the loved one for X number of dollars. Others who are involved with magic say, I don't do the black magic stuff. I'm a good witch. No black magic for me. It's all white magic. From God's perspective, Deuteronomy chapter 18 and Exodus chapter 22, there are no good witches. Some witches may be more evil than others, but all are living a lifestyle that's contrary to God's will. Some claim that they can communicate with the dead, and maybe they have good intentions, perhaps not. But mediums engaged in an activity which God said, this is so serious, you need to die. Now, someone might say, well, that sounds pretty strict. That sounds pretty severe. Why would God say that the witches and the mediums and the sorcerers, the enchanters, all these people need to be put to death? One big part of the answer is that these people were infringing on territory that exclusively belongs to God. Think about it in this way. Suppose someone says, I'm going to cast a spell, good or bad, but I am going to use power, my power, to cast a spell on someone. Where's the focus? On the person casting the spell. Is the power coming from God? No, it's some other source. The alleged power is coming from a book. It's coming from a potion, some special words, or something else. The person who tries to reach into the Hadean realm where the dead are, the person who claims to do that, the person who tries to do that is once again infringing on an area that belongs to God, infringing on his glory, infringing on his authority. God is the one, the sole one who has power over life and death. You may remember that in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, Jesus said, I have the keys to death and Hades. And yet some medium comes along and says, well, I also have a way in. I can help you do that. I can be the bridge or a bridge between the living and the dead. God says, I don't take kindly to these kinds of activities. When it comes to spiritual things, people think that they can do sometimes whatever they want to do. And that's a problem. God says, though, that he made us. And God also said, because I made you, there are some limits on what I'm going to let you do. We might explore space, and we have. And God says, that's fine. We might decide that we want to plumb the depths of the sea. And God says, that's all right. But trying to reach into the Hadean realm where the dead are, God says, no. Now, when people became Christians in the first century, they understood this. They got some teaching on this point. If we were to look at Acts chapter 19, and I'm not going to turn there because I think the passage is familiar, we'd find in Acts chapter 19 some people who are a lot like the folks in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 18. This past week, as I was thinking about Acts 19, I got a slightly different perspective on it. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 18, Luke says that the people who were involved with the occult, basically, he said those people did some confessing. They confessed some things. People who are involved with the occult began to confess. I can't help but wonder if maybe some of the confessing was a new Lord. Luke says these people burned their books. They didn't try to sell them. They didn't try to hawk them. But these people came to understand that what they were involved with was so offensive to God. Burn the books. Destroy them. These people came to see where the true power was. Witches, mediums, seances, people are involved with something that's not of God. Now, sometimes people ask if there's any power in the occult. I would answer that, first of all, with deception. Sometimes people can have power over someone because they deceive someone, and there certainly is power from the perspective of deception. If there's additional power in the occult, perhaps we might call that providential power. God helps his people providentially, and it would make sense that the devil and his resources are also able to help people that want to do his bidding providentially. The Old Testament says, stay away from this stuff, and that's a good lesson for us. Now, somebody might at this point be thinking, well, you know, hey, I'm not really involved with that, and I'm not sure that that's such a big issue. Why spend some time talking about witches? Here's why. Let me share some numbers with you. Back in 1990, and you can do the math as far as how long ago that was, the good old U.S. of A. had 8,000 people. That was the estimate as far as the number of Wiccans. 2008, that goes back 10 years, the number skyrocketed. It went from 8,000 to 340,000. Today, now, would you believe that there are 1.5 million people in this country who identify as Wiccans? We're pushing the 2 million mark when it comes to witches. This is a growing area in America. I mean, the occult is on the rise. And one day, don't be surprised if you find that you have a neighbor, a coworker, or someone in school who's a Wiccan. Someone says, I'm a witch. Don't be surprised, because there are a lot of them in America. You see, when people are willing to reject Christianity and the one true God, they have a hole. There's a void in their life that they want to fill. And something's going to come in there. Jesus even talked about that. The man who had the demons cast out, the house is swept and garnished, and some demons return. Something is going to fill that hole. If you're not willing to fill it with God, some people will look at the occult. A growing number of people are turning to the occult. Going back to Exodus chapter 22. Let's go back and read now verses 18 through 20. We highlighted verse 18. There God said, thou shalt not suffer a sorceress to live. In verse 19, we come to our second sin. He said, whosoever lieth with the beast shall surely be put to death. And then in verse 20, he that sacrificeth unto any god, save unto Jehovah only, shall be utterly destroyed. In the second sin, God said there's something else that needs important attention, and that is you need to be put to death if you have relations with an animal. Someone says, well, that's definitely unnatural, and it certainly is. It is a departure from the natural order. But it's also just like that first sin, something that was associated with pagan worship. The ancient world was a place, and in some respects our culture is like that as well. It had some filthy practices. God knew that as people came into the land, they would be exposed to some of those filthy practices. And the unsaved today, just like people back then probably would have said, just like we hear, well, everybody's doing it. Try it at least once. Maybe mock those who don't participate. But God said to his people, you're different. I've called you to a different standard. I've called you to be my people. I'm holy. You need to be holy. You need that breastplate of righteousness that we talked about this morning. Time and time again, Scripture talks about two different ways to live. And we can follow the devil, the majority, or we can be one of the few who decide to follow God. As you look at that second sin in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 19, it really involves avoiding the raunchy stuff of the world. God said, if you want to live this way and do what these pagans are doing, you need to die. And then we turn to our third sin in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 20, and this sin involved sacrifice. God said, if you sacrifice to any god other than me, offer a sacrifice to any deity other than me, God said, you need to die. Now, the ASV translation that I read says, utterly be destroyed. Now, here's a case where if you're reading through the text, it pays to pay close attention to the text. In verse 18, it simply says, be killed, or something similar. In verse 19, it also says something like, be killed, and it's very similar to verse 18. But in verse 20, the wording is different. At least it appears to be different. Utterly be destroyed. That's the wording in the ASV. If you were to look at the Hebrew text also reflects a difference that you see in some translations like the ASV. The wording in verse 20 means utter destruction. God said you destroy the person, and you also obliterate, do away with the property. We can imagine someone who's in a house, and they're evicted from the house, and yet they're allowed to live. I think we can also imagine someone who's in a house, and they're taken from the house, and after they're taken from the house, their life is brought to an end. But neither of those items is what we have in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 20. God says, look, you're going to be taken from your house. You're going to lose your life. And after you lose your life, God said every possession, every piece of property that you have is going to be destroyed. In Exodus chapter 22 and verse 20, God said, if you have somebody who engages in this activity, if you have someone who worships another god, God says, you erase them. Get rid of every trace. Destroy their life. Destroy their property. Everything involved with that person, get rid of it. Now, there's some laws in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, which may seem strange. There are some laws in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, which may seem harsh. But this law, as I look at it, it really gets my attention. God said, get rid of this person and everything that he has. Don't auction it. Get rid of it. Worshipping any other god came with devastating consequences. Now, there's a thread, a little golden thread that ties together Exodus 22, verses 18 through 20. And that golden thread is this. God is a great and glorious God. God is unlike anything that we can ever imagine or see in this life. And if people wanted to infringe on God's glory and power by involving themselves in something like the occult and witchcraft, God said, that is so offensive to me. When here I am, I've got the real power and the real glory, and you're going to play around with that stuff, God said, I'm going to wipe you out. You got to go. And then somebody else said, well, we're not going to do that, but we're going to be involved with animals in this way. Exodus 22 and verse 19, God said, if you're going to do that when I made man in my image, I can't stand for that. You got to go. And then the third one, God said, if you decide that you're going to bow down and serve some other god, when here I am, all power, all authority, all knowledge, all this other stuff, so great and glorious, that is so offensive, that is so repulsive to me, God says, I'm going to obliterate you in every possible sense. Wow. That's the God that we serve. God is, as we look at Scripture, a loving and compassionate God. But God is also so special, so unique, so high and holy that he says, if you try to somehow debase me, if you want to, just as we think about somehow defacing a statue or a monument, God says, if you want to mar my image somehow, you don't know who you're messing with. And he said to the people, you take the life of that person, watch out. Let's apply that. Some today disgrace God by worship. God has said, this is the appropriate way to worship me. And some kind of, oh, God doesn't care. We can do this and we can do that. God says no. There's some others who treat God with contempt by worshiping some other god. Can you imagine, based on Exodus chapter 22, God's attitude when today someone bows down to a rock or a tree or something else? Maybe it's in ignorance, but they will pay for that lack of knowledge. Others, as they come to God, they mock him by somehow disrespecting his word. But God gave a very stern warning in Exodus chapter 22, and the warning is, you never forget who I am. If you do, you're probably going to pay. Dealing with God is an extremely serious matter. It's always been true under the Old Testament, true under the New. So when we read the Bible, or we hear information from about the Bible, we need to take it very, very seriously. God said what he meant and meant what he said. And yet, do we not find people day after day who come along and say, well, I don't think God, and then you can just fill in the blank. We find that. It happens. They show contempt for God. But when God has said something, don't mess with it. If God has said we need to believe, that's the end of the matter. If God has said repent, confess, be baptized, if God said jump over the hill, that were possible, that's what we want to do. He is a powerful God, a magnificent God, but don't mess with him and his word. That's a message that we can take to our world. That's something that we can share with people when folks come along and say, well, God doesn't care. God's this, God's that. No. The God that you're thinking of is not the God described in the Bible. Would you be willing to sit down and look at the God of the Bible? When people finally can see what the God of the Bible is really like, then just like with Moses, we're on holy ground. And we just step back and see what that God requires of me. Tonight, we trust that you're here because you believe in that holy God. You have respect for him and his word. You want to do what's right. And if we can help you write your relationship with that holy God, we don't want to be on the wrong side of him. Tonight, will you let us know what that need is and do that now, please, as we stand and sing the selected song.